readings is from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 14. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who he was pledged to be married to. He was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel appeared to them, and glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, I wonder if anybody can tell me, what is the most frequent command in the Bible? What command comes more than any other times in the whole of the Bible? I think Leonie's going to give me the right answer. I hope she is, anyway. Go on, Leonie.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid, that's right. That comes more than any other command. And it came in our reading, didn't it? The angel, the messenger from God, who appeared to the shepherd, the first thing that they said, as the glory of God surrounded them, and they were terrified, they were scared out of their wits. But the very first thing that God's messenger said was, "Don't be afraid." And these shepherds, well, they were a tough bunch of blokes. But meeting this messenger direct from the presence of God, it was really scary. They were terrified. Often in the Bible, people get afraid when they get near to God. You see, because deep down people, they knew that they'd not treated God as they should have done. And when they get near to God, there can't be any more pretending. And they're filled with fear, like these shepherds. It's a bit like waiting outside the head teacher's study when you know that you've done something wrong. I can remember that very spot in our school, and it was a long time ago, but whenever you walked down that little bit of corridor, well, you know, a shiver went down your spine. It was outside the head teacher's study. And it's a little bit like that for these shepherds. They are understandably afraid. Now, all of us, I guess, have things that we are afraid of, don't we? Any suggestions? Anybody willing to say something that you're afraid of? Or things that people are afraid of? Yes, Andrew?
The dark.
Afraid of the dark. Yes, okay. That would be something. Any other suggestions? Yes, Michelle?
My mum's afraid of spiders.
Afraid of spiders. I think we've got a picture of a spider. There we have. We've got a picture of a very scary-looking spider. Okay. Sorry? Oh, it's cute, is it? Well, yes, you see, some people think it's cute. Other people think it would be very scary. Any other suggestions for things that people... Yes, Barbara? Lions?
Flying,
yes, okay, yes. Is that personally speaking? Oh, right, okay, yes. Afraid of flying? Yeah. Behind me.
Clowns.
Clowns?
Clowns, yeah.
Do you mean clowns or clouds?
Circus clowns.
Okay. Okay, all right, well, we all have our own sort of phobias, don't we? I thought clowns were supposed to be friendly and... Okay, can we put another picture up? I think a lot of people would be afraid of snakes, wouldn't they? There's a cobra or something. Or what about this next picture? This was taken back in August. In the middle of a thunderstorm, that can be quite scary sometimes, can't it? Okay, all right, well, there's our lightning conductor doing its job. And I guess as we look back over this past year, many grown-ups have been fearful of the virus, haven't they? Fearful of what that might bring and what might happen afterwards. Fearful of death and what might happen after that. Fearful that our lives don't have any real significance to them if they're snatched away so quickly. For others, maybe other fears, aren't there? Fear of losing a job or a business collapsing. And the loss of security and status that would go with that. Now, sometimes, us adults, we're not very good at admitting to our fears. The fear of growing old, fear of losing our looks. Personally, I've never had to worry about that one too much. Fear of what people think of us. Of rejection, if we're honest about those things. Often we try and cover up and give the impression that we've got it all together. We even try to hide from God or fool him with some sort of outward performance, because deep down we too know that we've not treated God as we should have done. And that's the big fear that underlies all those other little fears. Now, of course, we can't hide from God. Can't do it. But the message of Christmas, the wonderful message of Christmas, is that we don't need to hide from God. Here were those shepherds exposed to the glory of God, and the first thing that God said to them was, "Don't be afraid." Now, Mr. Cool likes to give the impression of not being fearful. Can I encourage you not to do that? Please don't minimize your fears. Instead, and this might sound rather strange, find more of them. Expose them to the light of day. Because the more you find, the more you will appreciate God saying to you, "Don't be afraid." Yes, God first said those words to a bunch of shepherds 2,000 years ago, but he went on to give a reason why they were not to be afraid. And that's the same reason why none of us needs to be afraid if we listen. God tells them not only not to be afraid, but the reason why they don't need to fear. And we're going to think about that a little bit now with the help of a short video. We're going to meet a talking teddy bear, and maybe you can identify with some of the things that this teddy bear is saying.
I think wrapping paper might be the answer. I mean, just look at everyone else with their perfect bodies and immaculate style, their clean little coats and their cute little smiles. What hope have I got to ever impress? Compared to them, my life is a mess. But if I was wrapped up, then no one could see the rips and the cracks and the screw-up that's me. The paper would cover all my faults and my flaws. I'd look just the same as the others because I would be shiny, attractive, exciting. People would see me as something inviting. If you ask what I wish for this Christmas tide, here is my answer. I just want to hide. Now that it's happened, you would think I'd be cheerful. But here is the thing, I'm actually more fearful. I know it sounds weird, but now that I'm covered, I'm scared of the moment when I'm truly discovered. I know it can't last. This is not the real me. I'm dreading the moment when I'm actually seen. What will they think? What will they say? Disappointment? Disgust as they throw me away? This is it. Here we go. My heart is racing. Nowhere to hide now. What am I facing? The paper is ripped and thrown to one side. Everything's bright as the light hits my eye. But wait, what is this? Can this really be true? You're seeing me and I'm seeing you. With hands that are caring and eyes that are kind, you pick me up and love what you find? That cannot be because of my beauty. It must be because of what you will do with me. You bind up my wounds and you clean up my pores. And now I am loved, but not because I am so perfect, so clean and so great, but because you saw me and you did not hate, but loved me, restored me, you made me clean. Now this is real freedom, to be truly seen. What could be better for Christmas this year? A prince of peace who scatters our fear. Yes, God is the maker, but we hide from him. Here is our problem. It's what is called sin. It leads to a mess, so we wrap ourselves up. We fear being seen, but that doesn't stop God from coming to find us, sending his son. He so loves this world that Jesus has come. He loves us, restores us. He makes us clean. This Christmas, find freedom. This Christmas, be seen.
God's messenger appeared to those shepherds and said, "Don't be afraid." But if that's all there was, that would be a bit like saying to a drowning person, "Start swimming." God knows that we need more than a bare command to get rid of our fears. And so the messenger went on to say why they didn't need to be afraid. Here it is. He said, "I bring you good news." Literally, "I am gospeling you." Now, in the ancient world, a gospel announced the arrival of a new king, a new ruler. When a new king came to the throne of a country, he would send out messengers with the gospel of his arrival, his rule. And it is a gospel of good news of great joy, we're told. The rule of this king will be a source of joy and blessing to his subjects. Now, as we look through history, many human rulers have been a source of sadness and suffering to their subjects as they crushed and destroyed, but not this king. Here is a gospel of great joy that will be for all the people. So not just these shepherds, not just for their fears. It's much, much bigger than that. It's for you and me. It's for our fears too. So, who is this ruler? Well, the messenger tells us. He arrives in the town of David. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. So here is the king in David's line, the great ruler that God had promised all the way through the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible. God's king has now arrived. And what will this king do? Well, we're told, aren't we, that he will be the saviour of God's people. Only a powerful king will be able to rescue us from the mess that we've got ourselves into, those fears that enslave us. Well, this king will have the power of God himself to rescue people from our sin and all the damage that it brings. Now, Luke will take the rest of his gospel explaining how this king will do that. But actually, there is a hint here. As suddenly a whole multitude of angels, messengers from God, appear. And in response to that, the message of that first angel, they say, verse 14 here, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Here is the offer of peace. Perfect peace between God and people. Restoration for those who know that they've got on the wrong side of God and deserve his anger. That's people like us. This king is going to be a mediator, a go-between God and people. It will cost him his life to do it, as he takes upon himself the anger of God that we deserve, so that instead people might be given peace with God, the security of being utterly forgiven and unconditionally loved forever by the God who made us. As the video said, we fear to be seen, but that did not stop God coming to find us, sending his Son, the Prince of Peace, who scatters our fear. For all who will welcome this king, all who will receive Jesus as our ruler, there is a security of being unconditionally loved, a security that scatters our fear. As the bear said, "Now I am loved, but not because I'm so perfect, so clean, so great. You loved me, restored me, and made me clean." That is real freedom, to be truly seen, even by God, but loved regardless. That's the offer this Christmas, and every Christmas. And it sets people free from the fear of failure, the fear of missing out, even the fear of death. When you know that you are eternally loved by the forgiving God, it doesn't mean that you'll never face a scary situation again. It doesn't even mean that you'll never be fearful. But it does mean that you have no need to fear in the things that really matter. If you want to think more about that, this Christmas we're offering this little book as a giveaway. It's called, appropriately enough, A Very Different Christmas. So please ask me for one of those as you leave. I'll make a note of your name so that I